very much. Mr. Chairman of the Democratic Party of New York, His Excellency the Governor, and the First Lady of the great state of New York, and these Democratic mayors, and all the Democrats that are here, and I hope there's some Republicans here so I can tell them what to think of. Personally, I like them, but I just think they go down the road the wrong way, and I sometimes think maybe I can turn them around and bring them back. I want to say to you, Mr. Mayor of Buffalo, that as I was talking to the governor in the governor's mansion, there's a certain mayor of Buffalo that always comes to mind when I think of Buffalo and the State House in Albany. He was the governor of the great state of New York and became the president of the United States. You know what they do to that man? They count him twice in the presidential list. No other president gets that privilege. And that's really something, Mr. Mayor. I was told that some of my experiences as a candidate for office might be of interest to the people who are assembled here today. Now, I want to say to you, Bob Wagner, if you'd had those 8 Metropolitan dailies for you, I'm just as sure as I'm standing here, you'd been licked. I've been running for office since 1922. I quit in 1952, you understand, after 30 years in elective public office. And in all that time, I never had the Metropolitan papers on my side. And I think if I had had them on my side, I probably would have stayed in Missouri permanently. Of course, I wanted to go back to Missouri, but I wanted to go back on my own hook. I didn't want any of those birds to send me back. They didn't have an opportunity to do it either. I want to say to you people who make up the backbone of the Democratic Party that the Democratic Party is the party of the people. It always has been, and it always will be. There have always been able leaders in the Democratic Party who remembered that the Democratic Party is the people's party. It was founded by Thomas Jefferson. It was revived by Andrew Jackson. It has been the party that has saved the country in instance after instance when it was necessary to save it for its welfare and benefit. I'm hipped on the subject that you have the greatest government in the world, the greatest government in the history of the world. And that government starts with you people. It starts in the precinct. It starts with the people on the ground. You know where the power of government lies in this great United States of ours? It lies in the people. And when you are a precinct captain in your precinct, and you are a leader in your township, in your village, in your city, you get the power to act from the people who constitute that constituency. I've told them many a time, when I retired from the presidency, the only office I coveted was precinct captain. And the fellow that has it now told me that I couldn't beat him, and I don't believe I can, because I've been gone away from home too long. You know, one of the remarkable things in this United States now is the fact that we have a large number of able and distinguished governors, such as the great governor of New York. I am exceedingly interested in the welfare of the Democratic Party. I wouldn't be here if I didn't think that the Democratic Party is the party that's most important to the welfare of the people of this country. I've made somewhat of a study of politics, And in a free government such as ours, politics is government. And I think the greatest compliment that can be paid to a man is that he is a politician in a free government such as ours. Because if he's a politician, he has to be able to get along with the people. He has to be able to tell the people what he stands for and why he stands for it. And then, on top of all of that, he must be an honorable man whose word is good and who will carry out his promises that he makes politically just as he would carry out his contracts in a business deal. When we have that sort of government, we always have Democrats in control. I'm a little bit prejudiced on that subject, as you know that's discovered by this time. But I'm very anxious indeed, to see this great country of ours, the government of this great country of ours, restored to the people. There are two theories of government in this great United States. There's one theory of government that believes that there is a class in the country who is born to rule, and that they are the people who ought to control the governments of the city, the state, and the nation. They are special privileged people who believe that the rich ought to get richer, and that by chance maybe some of that will filter down to the people down below. We don't believe in that sort of government. We believe that the government starts with the people down below. And we don't have any prejudice against any rich man. We are admirers of those who are able to do it honestly and for the benefit of the country, which a great, great number of them have. But we don't believe that the people who control the government should control it for a special interest purpose. We believe that government should be controlled. That government should be controlled for the welfare and benefit of all the people. And I want to say to you, the government now in the capital city of Washington is a special privileged government and nothing else. I want every single one of you Democratic candidates in Republican counties to go home and fight with all you have for the principles of the Democratic Party, and then when you get in control, give the people of your community the very best government they ever had, and that won't be difficult if you live in a Republican county, I can tell you that. Thank you very, very much for this great privilege. You know, I am overwhelmed by the manner in which you treated me here today. I was in Boston last night and received the same sort of treatment. There must be something in the air that I don't understand, because I had thought when I moved out of the great white jail at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue that it would be very hard for me to walk down the street without getting a punch in the nose. But I find that I'm overwhelmed with kindness, and it's the greatest compliment that can come to any man. And I hope I can always live to deserve your good opinion and the good opinion of the people of this great United States of America. Go home now and win this election.
The governor of the state of New York, the Honorable Averill Harriman. Mr. President, Mike Prendergast, distinguished Democrats, one and all of you. I wish you could see the view that I have standing on this platform here, part of some of these lights in my eyes. To see a bunch of Democrats assembled here in this number is a great thrill to me. You know, being governor has its advantages and some disadvantages, because when you're governor of all the people of the state, and all your waking hours you're trying to think about how you can do things for the people of the state, whether they're Democrats or whether they're Republicans. So that it's a great relief for me today to be here with a bunch of Democrats, and I can be a Democrat today, first class. Now, first, I want to thank all of you who've made this meeting possible. Mike, of course, the good ladies, Mary Louise Nice, and the Mrs. Marcy, particularly here of Albany County. You know, whenever the gals get to work for the Democratic Party, it's a good thing for our party, and it's a good thing for the state. We've got 200 women candidates running this year, and they're going to be a great credit to our party, and a number of them are going to get elected, I prophesy. There was a time when Democrats ran upstate just to have something to do. But anybody who runs this year had better look out, because there's a very good chance of you being elected. But in all seriousness, you men and women who are running for these important jobs on local communities, every one of you represent the Democratic Party. Every one of you. When you make your campaign, you are making a campaign for this party of ours, which means so much to us. And it's through you that you can bring what we believe in to the people of your community. And it's a great satisfaction to me to know the many fine men and women who are running in this year's campaign. And it's on the basis of your victories this year, or maybe there may be some of you that have some near misses. But you will be, those who aren't fully successful this year will be building for another year. So what you're doing is very well worthwhile. Now, we've done a lot in this first 9 months, and we've done it in spite of the opposition. We've done it with the help of the minority that's in the state legislature, and we need more men to represent upstate New York to understand the needs of the people. More Democrats. But those men have fought well last year, and we've brought out many pieces of legislature that were growing covered with dust in the pigeonholes of the committees of the legislature. And then we brought out legislation which my predecessor vetoed. Legislation that meant a lot to some segment of our people, whether it be labor, or whether it be the farmer, or whether it be the smaller businessman, or whether it be the civil servant who works so faithfully for our state. But you've seen all that in the kit that you have, and study it, and realize that there's much more to be done, and we're going to put the Republican Party on the spot next winter again, and make them face up and say yes or no as to whether they will go forward with legislation which is necessary for the people of our state.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Honorable Carmine DiSapio.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, Governor Harriman, Lieutenant Governor DeLuca, Controller Levitt, Mayor Wagner, Mayor Corning, Mayor Pankow, Mary Louise Nice, fellow Democrats. This is a happy day for our party and a proud day for all New Yorkers. I want to extend my thanks to you for your presence at this remarkable gathering of delegates and party leaders, as well as to those who had the foresight and acumen to bring us all together. The enthusiasm which is here manifest, and the great confidence which permeates the entire city of Albany today is a dramatic commentary on the leadership and strength of our Governor Averill Harris. They attest to the vitality of our party and to the determination of its supporters to move forward to greater achievements and greater progress. Next year, my good friends, the American people will be called upon to name the man who will serve as president for the 4 ensuing years. The man whose leadership, or lack of leadership, will control the fortunes and the fate of countless millions. The man whose courage, or lack of courage, will decide the lot men, women, and children all over the world. The man whose wisdom, or lack of wisdom, will influence the course of civilization. The man whose background, or lack of background, will determine whether we progress or slip back. Who is so wise, so sage, so profoundly brilliant as to pretend to know today, in October 1955, who is the best, the most qualified, and strongest leader for 1956? What man, I ask, has the right to tell us today who our conventions must nominate in August 1956? Where are these fantastic crystal balls which some people use with abandon and irresponsibility as they pretend to be able to look into the future? Two great political parties will meet in August of next year, 10 months from now, to express and to vote the sentiment of their respective constituents. These conventions, these cornerstones of our American democracy, will pick two candidates for the highest and most important trust in all the world. They must select men who have the background, the wisdom, the leadership, and the character which that exalted office requires. If they don't, and we elect the wrong man, our children will pay for our mistakes, as will their children and their children's children for generations and generations to come. Let us stop and pause and abandon politics as usual. Let us think rather in terms of uniting the people of our country, of understanding the problems and the needs and the particular requirements of the various segments of our society. Let us think, ladies and gentlemen, in terms of policy and principle and qualification rather than in terms of partisan or personal preference. And above all, let us see what the people want. And as true leaders should, let us follow the people. And let this be done by Democrats and Republicans alike. And our country and our world will emerge the greater, the better, and the happier. Thank you very much.